God's grace is so big. I love it that you guys were here to talk about Honduras, because that is exactly what we're talking about this morning as we talk about the wise men. God's grace is so big. God's grace extends farther than we can imagine, farther than we can conceive, farther than any kinds of preconceived notions that we have. And that's exactly what Christ is doing today as we celebrate Epiphany Sunday, is about God's grace extending to the very corners of the world, to the people who the Jewish people thought were outside of God's grace. You have to listen. You have to listen to this part that Paul is saying, because this is exactly what Epiphany is about. Epiphany is about God's grace extending to every people of every nation, of every tribe, every color, every ethnicity, everywhere. This is exactly what Paul is saying in Ephesians. Let's see. I have to find the spot here. All right. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind. What is Paul saying? He's saying, previously, people thought that God's grace wasn't for everybody. But this is what he's saying. But it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Now you have to realize, when Paul was saying this to Jewish people, they were like, what? Mind equals blown. Right? This was a big deal. This was huge. This was like earth-shattering to them, so much that they wanted to stone Paul and throw him in prison and tell him, you can't say this in synagogues. This is crazy talk. What are you talking about? Because up until this point, you have to realize that the Jewish people were thinking, oh yes, we're saved, we're good, we're God's chosen people. We just follow all of God's rules. We stay in our little box, and God stays in our little box with us, and everything is hunky-dory. We know that everything is all right. But that is not what God wanted for the world. The prophet Isaiah says, no, God wants everyone, all kings, to know about God's glory and to share in God's light. That's what the prophet Isaiah is talking about. And here Paul is saying, it is fulfilled in Christ Jesus now, that the light and grace and love of God is for all people everywhere. And so we get to see that now fulfilled on Epiphany Sunday as these magi, these wise men from the east, fulfill that promise that God wants the whole world to know about his grace, that God's grace is so big. It's so big that it can't be contained to just one group of religious people, one congregation, one denomination, one color, one skin color, one ethnicity, one set of people. But God belongs to the world. And Jesus' love and mercy extends to everyone. So when we think about the Magi, we tend to think of the three kings, right? You know, we three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel afar, hill and mountain. Yeah, that's how it goes, right? And we think of maybe kings like that. You know, I have a little crush at home, a little nativity set for Miriam, and it's got the little plastic cherub-like little boys, you know, and they have the crowns on, kind of like these guys, you know, and this is an ancient icon for the Magi, and they're wearing kings looking very European, right? And we tend to sentimentalize them. But these guys were real guys, you know, and from the east, they probably didn't look like that. They probably looked a little bit more, whoops, I keep doing that, looks a little more like this guy. You know, Mary probably didn't look like that either. Mary didn't look like that, and Joseph probably didn't look like that. They were from the Middle East. They had olive skin and dark hair and brown eyes, and you know, we tend to sentimentalize these people, but really they weren't like that. They probably looked a little more like this guy. See, these guys were the Magi. They were scientists from Iran, Persia, most likely. Right? And they were the elites of their time. Magi, the word that we have, comes from Latin, from magister, which means a wise person. That's where we get the word wise men. You know, somebody who's learned, a scientist. But they didn't study science like we think of science. They studied probably astrology. But at the time, astrology was like, whoa, high science at the time. And why? It's because they could predict the motions of the heavens. They knew when the moon would come up and when it would go down and when the planets would go around and which stars were where. They knew more about the stars than I'm sure any of you know, or me, although maybe there's an astronomer among us, I don't know. And so they were highly revered because when things happened in the sky, they knew about it. And they knew that it meant something important. They were scientists. And they weren't Jewish. They were probably Zoroastrians from Persia. That was the religion that they practiced there, was Zoroastrianism. But yet, despite that, they knew that there was an important king born in Israel that they needed to go and see. God had revealed something to them. And so when they traveled, because they were rich dudes, they probably looked more like this, riding on their camels. And it wasn't just three of them, you understand. If you're going to travel from Persia all the way to Palestine, you got to take your entourage with you. You can't just go, you know, you three. You're going to have your soldiers to protect all the boxes of treasures. There's hundreds of them, I'm sure, that went on this big travel. You know, they had all their servants with them. Because when you're rich, you don't cook your own meals. You know, you got to have your cook along, and you got to have your steward, and somebody to put your tent up for you, and all this kind of stuff. So they're marching all the way across the wastelands. And God's grace is so big, and God's light shines so far that these Zoroastrian scientists from Iran could see the heavens and know that God was doing something, something they needed to pay attention to, something they needed to respond to and go and find out more about. And so they marched all the way across the Middle East to see this little boy. And they did what they're supposed to do. They went and talked to Herod first. And Herod, the insider, didn't know what he was talking about. He had to go and consult with people, right? So Herod, he's supposed to know what's going on in his kingdom. And he's frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, to hear that there's this king, a king of the Jews, who is born. What's going on with this? They were very scared. Because if there was going to be a power struggle, that meant people were going to die. I think it's the same with you and me right now. We get a little bit scared when we hear that there's a new king coming to rule over us. Because our little King Herod's inside, our egos are like, I just want to rule myself. And maybe we get a little scared when we hear that there's a new king born. And that king wants to rule over our lives. At any rate, these guys come, they talk to Herod. Herod consults in the scriptures, consults with all the religious hoity-toity folks in Jerusalem. Ah, Bethlehem, that's the place. And indeed, the star leads the magi, the wise men, these astrologers, over the astronomers of their time, over to Jesus. Can you imagine this, though? You have to imagine. It's not just three kings, you know. It's a caravan of camels walking down the main street of Bethlehem in the middle of the night. You know there are old ladies peeking out their windows going, what is going on there? All the camels are marching down. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were, what did it say? Overwhelmed with joy. They might have been singing some Persian song, who knows, in some foreign language, clanging cymbals in the middle of the night, trumpeting the horns. We know where the king is. The people in Bethlehem, their jaws are dropping. What is going on? Oh my gosh. But isn't this interesting now? That the scientists, the Zoroastrians from Persia, from Iran, are the ones who are pointing the people in Bethlehem, the people who are right next door, towards Jesus. Because you know that word got around as soon as those foreigners showed up. What are these strange guys doing in here? Whoa, you see all that treasure they have? They're taking it somewhere. Somebody special is getting that stuff, I know. And here they see him. Where is he going? King Herod doesn't live here. King Herod's in Jerusalem. Why are they in Bethlehem? And they go up to Jesus, and they bow down. These mighty guys get off their camels. Have you ever seen a camel kneel down? Woo, it's a big, It's a mighty thing to see a camel kneel down. And they climb off their camels. And they, you know, and you have to realize these people in Bethlehem, they don't get to see a king every day. They don't get to see rich people every day like we do on TV, you know, or on our phones. We see rich people all the time. They didn't see this stuff every day. They knew something was going on, something important. They see these guys get down. Where is that going? Who in Bethlehem deserves this treatment? And they see them kneel down with joy in front of Jesus and open up their treasure chests and put the gold and the frankincense and myrrh down in front of Jesus. Foreigners, Persians, people from Iran, people who are not Jewish, people who are looking at the skies, God has revealed to them that Jesus is the King. And so they pay him homage. Wow. So the question for you guys then is, two things, two parts to this question. How is God leading you to Jesus today? Maybe it's through a star. Maybe it's through science. Maybe it's through something else. Who knows? As long as it's pointing to Jesus. God uses any means necessary to let the world know about his grace. Even people in a different religion. God wants them to know about Jesus and how much God loves them through him. So how is God maybe using you or science or something else to point towards Jesus? Maybe a dream. We hear at the end, the Magi have dreams. And that helped them understand what God was up to. And so they didn't tell Herod where Jesus was. They left on another road because they knew that Herod was going to persecute Jesus. And then the second part is, however God is pointing you to Jesus, how will you pay him homage? How will you pay Jesus homage? Think of these guys, the elite of their time, the most powerful people, foreigners even, of a different religion, come and kneel down and give gifts to Jesus and pay him homage with joy. God is calling us to learn from their example and do the same. How is God inviting you today to pay homage to Jesus?